This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, June 7th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
Santander takes over struggling Banco Popular, acquiring the firm for the price of 1 euro.
Polls show a tightening race in Britain less than 24 hours before a voting begins.
The OECD sets out its priorities for the next UK government and warns of economic uncertainty tied to Brexit.
Several attackers stormed Iran's parliament building in Tehran and a shrine. Plus, was Attorney General Jeff Sessions set to resign? I'm Michael Barr. More coming up.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. NBA Finals resume tonight. Mets and Yankees lost last night, and Cincinnati's Scooter Jeanette hit four home runs.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Red Hat, whose broad portfolio of open-source technologies for the enterprise helps you get from where you are to where you want to be. Red Hat, the open technology to help you realize your vision. Learn more at redhat.com/opentech.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, little changed. S&P futures down a point. Dow futures down 14. NASDAQ futures up 1. DAX in Germany's down 0.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan, little changed. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 2.14%. The yield on the 2-year 1.29%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 33 cents to $47.86 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% or $1.80 to $12.95.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1264, the yen 109.15.
Less than 24 hours to go, UK voters preparing to head to the polls to elect the next government that will lead Britain through its exit from the European Union. Joining us live with the latest is Bloomberg's Caroline Hepker, live from our London bureau. Good morning, Caroline.
A very good morning, Bob. The Bloomberg online poll tracker has Theresa May's Conservatives in the lead with 43% of the UK vote and Labour with 36%. It's become a much tighter race than expected, though, after the Prime Minister called the snap poll on the 18th of April. Brexit was the big campaigning issue, but with terror attacks in London and Manchester, security has come to the fore, along with other tax and spending pledges. Whoever wins, though, they face slow UK growth, the squeeze on real incomes and weak productivity, plus, of course, the start of Brexit negotiations in less than 2 weeks' time.
Caroline, what are analysts telling us about the likely market reaction, let's say worst-case scenario?
Well, even worse for Sterling than an outright Labour win, which is still considered unlikely, would be a so-called hung parliament. That's when no political party gets an overall majority to govern. A Bloomberg poll of analysts showed that the pound could plunge as low as $1.20 on Friday if there were no clear winner. A victory, though, for May's Conservatives would be supportive of the pound, something that analysts say is more or less already priced in. But it does depend on the time horizon. A Tory win would help Sterling in the short run, but of course it increases the odds of a hard Brexit, and that would probably mean a weaker pound longer term. Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
All right, Caroline, thank you. As campaigning comes to a close before tomorrow's UK election, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development has issued a list of priorities for the next government. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Yeah, this is just out. In its latest outlook, the OECD says Brexit uncertainty is the major risk to the UK. It says the next government has to invest more in transport, housing, and education. The organization also warns that poorer regions in the nation, reliant on manufacturing and agricultural exports, are exposed to the risk of global protectionism, which could lower incomes and raise inequality. The OECD sees UK economic growth slowing to 1.6% this year and 1% in 2018. Karen and Bob.
John Tucker, thank you. In Spain, Banco Popular has been taken over by competitor Banco Santander. The acquisition comes after European regulators determined Banco Popular was likely to fail. Bloomberg's Rodrigo Orulla reports from our newsroom in Madrid.
It'll be quite a bit more money than was expected. And also there's a lot of questions people may have on whether this makes sense or not. Because Popular is a story where there's two different stories. One is a great bank, very strong in SME business. It's very well known as a retail banker. On the other hand, it has a portfolio of real estate, which is not good at all and which is the big concern. So Santander will be taking on both things and everybody will probably want to know what they're going to do with that real estate business.
Bloomberg's Rodrigo Arruya reporting from Madrid. Thanks, Rodrigo. Santander plans to raise nearly $8 billion as part of this transaction. As for the purchase price of Banco Popular, according to a statement from the EU's Single Resolution Board, Santander acquired the bank for the price of 1 euro.
Let's head to Asia now for a look at trading on this Wednesday. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob and Karen, after a cautious start to the day's trade, Asian stocks finished fairly unchanged Wednesday. Gains in China offsetting losses in Hong Kong and muted action in Japan. The Australian dollar was the winner in the forex space, jumping against the greenback after the country's first quarter GDP marginally beat expectations, rising 1.7% year-on-year in the first quarter. Japanese equities were range-bound, the Nikkei 225 closing higher by 4 points to 19,984. After jumping to fresh July 2015 highs early in the session, the Hang Seng Index gave up those gains. Stocks on the mainland, though, fared better, the Shanghai Composite adding 1.2% to reach its highest level in a month. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Juliet, thank you. Here in the U.S., President Donald Trump today is set to outline his vision for an infrastructure plan with a speech in Cincinnati. So far, he's faced resistance to proposals on tax reform and health care, but billionaire real estate investor Tom Barrack believes a tax overhaul will eventually make its way through Congress. Barrack spoke to Bloomberg at our Invest New York Summit.
It's low-hanging fruit for everybody. So I'm the most encouraged by a workable and usable tax bill as I am for everything, because everybody wins. Everybody will win. They'll be for health care is much more complicated.
Tom Barrack is executive chairman of Colony North Star and a longtime friend of the president. He led Mr. Trump's inauguration committee, which raised more than $100 million for the celebration. S&P futures currently down a single point and the 10-year yield at 2.15%. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street, an attack in Iran. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Iran's state TV says several attackers were involved in a parliament shooting that is still underway in Tehran. At least a dozen people have been wounded. According to state TV, an explosion was also heard inside Iran's parliament. There was another attack, this one on a shrine. Several attackers, including a suicide bomber, killed a security guard and wounded four other people in the attack at the shrine of the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini. President Donald Trump's national security team will appear before a Senate panel today to discuss gathering intelligence on foreign agents and will likely be asked about Russia's election meddling and whether the president has tried to influence ongoing investigations. The Senate Intelligence Committee will hear testimony from former FBI Director James Comey tomorrow. The field is set in the race to replace New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Republican Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno and Democrat Phil Murphy emerged as the winners from yesterday's New Jersey primary. With almost all of the precincts in, Guadagno received 112,680 votes, or 46.8%. Murphy received 238,040 votes, or 48.2%. Guadagno and Murphy both gave their victory speeches last night.
I'm not running a campaign on platitudes or empty promises. I am running a campaign on my record.
We will make New Jersey Transit work better, work more safely, and treat its commuters with respect.
Britons will head to the polls for tomorrow's general election. Last night, Prime Minister Theresa May, during a campaign event, says she would make it easier to deport foreign terror suspects and restrict the freedom of movements of those who present a threat.
If our human rights laws stop us from doing it, we'll change the laws so we can do it.
May also called for longer prison sentences for those convicted of terror offenses. Bill Cosby's chief accuser says she shot down the actor's casual advances twice before she found herself paralyzed and unable to fight him off the night she took pills, and he said that they were herbal supplements. Andrea Constand emerged from 12 years of silence to testify at Cosby's sexual assault trial. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. And it's now 5:09 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. For the Mets and Yankees, similar scripts. A pitcher counted on heavily this season again struggled, and a comeback fell short. For the Mets, it was Jacob DeGrom coming off his worst outing of the season. This one was worse. In Texas, DeGrom gave up 8 runs, 10 hits in only 4 innings. His manager is Terry Collins.
By sitting on the bench and looking at the replay of some of the hits, the two seamers not working right now. You know, he's leaving balls right in the hitting area. And so we got to get him out of there. He's got to go pitch and work hard at it.
That's it. 5 home runs, but lost to Texas 10-8. Home runs again did in Masahiro Tanaka at the stadium. The Red Sox, Mitch Moreland, Hanley Ramirez, back-to-back homers in the third inning. Andrew Benintendi in the fifth. Boston beat the Yanks 5-4. Tanaka hasn't won a game since May 8th, and the Red Sox are only 1 game behind. In Cincinnati, an unlikely, historic display of power.
Jeanette steadily waiting the pitch. Oh, this baby is hammered high and deep. And it is 5-0 Reds. That's a grand slam. My goodness, Scooter Gennett.
Reds radio. That would be Scooter Gennett, the Reds utility infielder. That was his first home run of the night. He hit 3 more. 17th player in baseball history to belt 4 home runs in a game. He had only hit 38 in his career coming in. Cincinnati beat St. Louis 13-1, the Cardinals' fifth straight loss. Houston had won in 11 in a row and led 7-1. Kansas City came back to win 9-7. A year ago, Game 3 of the NBA Finals in Cleveland with Golden State up 2-0. The Cavs won by 30. That started the comeback. They won the series. We'll see what happens in tonight's Game 3. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thanks, John. David Beckham is on the verge of one of the biggest goals of his career, bringing Major League Soccer back to Miami. Miami-Dade County Commissioners deciding to allow Miami Beckham United to buy 3 acres of county land, the final piece in a 9-acre plot on which a 25,000-seat soccer stadium is planned. Beckham hopes to have a team playing in the arena by 2020. This is Daybreak. And the sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Bank with the pros at Investors Bank. For over 90 years, they've been helping businesses succeed with customized solutions and personal service. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. A measure of calm returning to markets as investors start to reassess the risks surrounding a series of key events this week. Bank stocks are powering equity gains after a troubled Spanish lender was rescued. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures this morning, they are little changed. S&P futures down a point, Dow futures down 15, NASDAQ futures up 1. The DAX in Germany is lower, down 0.1%, but the CAC in Paris is higher, up 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 is as well, up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.15%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 25 cents to $47.93 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $1.70 to $12.95.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1267, the yen, 109.19. We're also looking for the weekly report on mortgage applications out at 7 o'clock Wall Street time. At 3, it's consumer credit, and Brown Foreman among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Iran State TV says several attackers were involved in a parliament shooting that is still underway in Tehran. Another attack took place today on the shrine of Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini. There, 4 attackers, including a suicide bomber, killed a security guard and wounded 4 other people. Attorney General Jeff Sessions had suggested he might resign amid a growing rift with President Trump. That's according to a person familiar with the matter. Sessions had come under fire from President Trump over his recent recusal from an investigation into Russian meddling. In sports and baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Orioles, Nationals, and A's won. The Giants lost. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, much obliged. A lot for investors to concern themselves with in the days ahead. The European Central Bank's decision, the British election, the fired FBI chief's congressional testimony, the Fed's decision next week. Let's bounce it off. Ben Emmons, chief economist and head of credit portfolio management at Intellectus Partners, and also a contributor as one of our Bloomberg Profits columnists. Ben's joining us here at Bloomberg World Headquarters. Good morning. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with, prioritize this for me. What do you think the market is most concerned with right now?
So I think the market would be most concerned with the ECB meeting, because ultimately if the ECB were to tighten policy or signal thereof or anything of that nature, that would impact markets, because there's an expectation, belief that the ECB is going to stay on hold for some time, but yet the recovery in the Eurozone has been pretty robust. So that could be one important thing tomorrow. Obviously, the Comey testimony has some knife edge to it. Yes, there's some news out that he, you know, will not put President Trump in such a bad spotlight, but it will reveal some things to the marketplace too of what now really is happening there. What people try to figure out from this, in the market at least, is to understand, like, to what degree is this testimony going to derail his agenda, yes or no? That's the big tail risk, right? If ultimately all of this leads to the Trump agenda to being derailed, and then markets would react really negatively to that.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, we had that briefly when some of these impeachment shouts came out and the market did jump in volatility.
Let's talk about the Trump trade. The president's heading to Ohio today to give a push to his infrastructure spending plans. How real do you think that is in the short term?
Not in the short term, because we know that this will go not only through Congress and the Senate, and there's a lot of debate about how much can really be spent. We're running up against the debt ceiling, too. That's going to take place in August. There was some news out on this yesterday. So these forces play a role here. So, yes, you can announce the plans, and $1 trillion sounds great, but the headline in the market has not so much of an impact anymore. Rather, it's the implementation, ultimately. This is the same, of course, which is more important, is the tax reform, which is really, I think, what matters to markets the most, that if that were not to happen this year, then, you know, there will be a response to that.
Well, so, the Federal Reserve seems to be ignoring this. They've sort of put that off to the side and said that's not really going to happen right away.
Well, one caveat there, though, because in the minutes as well as in speeches, they have highlighted that there is uncertainty about the Trump agenda. There's uncertainty about policy in Washington, so they're monitoring it. So the forecasts factor in some fiscal stimulus from the in the future. The Fed forecasts factor that in. But they have themselves uncertainty about it. And they've also noted that it is impacting the economy to some degree. Of course, there's an emphasis on inflation that has somewhat moderated, and they're watching that too. But I would think that if the Trump agenda gets further, not derailed, but let's say it gets delayed, that the Fed will take that into account, into its forecast, and into its reaction function, so to speak. So may come out with speeches of saying, okay, our tightening campaign may slow down a bit.
We have heard some concern in the Fed speak recently about this inflation question. Is the Fed going to raise rates this month, and what do you think the pace is going to end up being?
So they will do it, because they have half the markets now at a 91% probability without any volatility. And so that's perfect to hike rates. Yet you could question that this third hike that we're now seeing in a matter of 6 months, so to speak, from December to March to June, that if that pace can continue sort of like almost like a quarterly hike, because of indeed the inflation data being softer, just generally the economy being softer, and the dollar is reflecting that, right? The weakness of the dollar since the start of this year is more of a reflection of weakness of the economy rather than a change in the pay in the path of rate hikes. So I think the Fed wants to hike more. It wants to bring the Fed funds rate back to what they call neutral, which the market has priced at 1.5%, which I think the Fed thinks that number, the short-term neutral rate, is 2. But there's a time gap between where the Fed wants to get to, which is the next number of 6 months or so, and the market thinks it's about a year from now. So I think the Fed will carefully assess after June how this inflation data particularly will develop.
Yeah. Very quickly, we've got less than a half minute here now. What about the vote in the UK? How much concern do you have?
Well, so the polls are tight, and we know those polls have not been always 100% accurate. What this means is that if the Conservatives, Theresa May's party, loses a fair amount of seats in the parliament, that means that the Brexit deal may be somewhat of a softer deal, and it could actually rally the pound, because her stance is about better no deal than a bad deal, which is a bit of a harsher stance. If the Conservatives lose some seats in Parliament and the Liberals get more seats, that Brexit deal may turn out a little softer, different. So.
Okay. Ben Emmons, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chief Economist at Intellectus Partners, and you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 10 to 16% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon Pershing's Insight 2017, the must-attend event for advisors next week, June 14th through the 16th in San Diego. If you haven't registered, you still can. Visit PershingInsight.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. stock index futures are little changed, and stocks in Europe are mixed as investors await a trifecta of possible market-moving events tomorrow. Former FBI Director James Comey's testimony before a Senate Intelligence Committee, a policy decision from the ECB, and the U.K. election.
According to a Bloomberg poll of analysts, the pound could plunge to as low as 120 on Friday should the UK snap election lead to a hung parliament. Such an outcome, though seen as unlikely, would be more negative than even an electoral upset that sees the Labour Party emerge the winner.
Banco Santander has taken over Banco Popular after European regulators decided the smaller bank was likely to fail. As part of the transaction, Santander plans to raise almost $8 billion of capital. Banco Popular had been hurt by bad real estate loans. Santander purchased the firm for €1.
AIG, the U.S. insurer that hired its seventh chief executive officer since 2005 last month, has had its outlook cut to negative by S&P Global Ratings. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
Higher-than-expected claims costs led to underwriting losses. The ratings firm says the outlook was lowered from stable because, quote, AIG's recent track record of delivering on strategic goals, specifically within its property casualty commercial insurance segment, has been subpar. It says its quality of consolidated earnings have been somewhat weakened over the last few years. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Tesla plans to build another factory because the current one is, quote, bursting at the seams. That's according to CEO Elon Musk. Musk says the electric car maker is deciding the location for a factory to build the Model Y crossover, which could debut as soon as late 2019.
Uber is cracking down on harassment in the workplace. The ride-hailing service fired 20 employees after a company investigation into harassment claims.
And the futures this morning, they are a little changed with S&P futures down a point, Dow futures down 13, NASDAQ futures up 2. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany's down 0.1% now. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.15%. And the euro at $1.1274. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. A suicide bombing in Iran's parliament. The latest on that and more now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Iranian authorities say at least two attacks took place in Tehran this morning as gunmen targeted the country's parliament and a religious shrine. An attacker blew himself up in the parliament building. Meanwhile, attackers, including a suicide bomber, killed a security guard and wounded several others at the shrine of the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini. The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for both attacks. Former FBI Director James Comey asked Attorney General Jeff Sessions to keep him from being alone with President Donald Trump. That's according to a person familiar with the situation. Comey plans to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee tomorrow about his encounters with Trump in the weeks before his May 9th firing. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has suggested recently that he might step down as tensions grew with President Trump. A person familiar with the matter says Sessions had to come under fire from Trump over his recusal from the investigation into any Russian meddling in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. In New Jersey, it will be Republican Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno versus Democrat Phil Murphy in the fall gubernatorial race. The statewide primary election was held yesterday. Guadagno spoke to supporters while accepting the Republican nomination.
The primaries have shown that my opponent represents the values of Wall Street, and I represent the values of Main Street.
Meanwhile, Murphy took a swipe at President Trump and his policies.
I reject completely the us versus them leadership that defines Chris Christie and Donald Trump.
With almost all of the precincts counted, Guadagno received 112,700 votes, or 46.8% of Republican voters. Murphy received 238,040 votes, or 48.2% of the Democratic voters. The general election takes place tomorrow in Britain. Prime Minister Theresa May, during a campaign event last night west of London, says she will change human rights laws if they get in the way of targeting suspected terrorists.
Longer prison sentences for those convicted of terrorist offences. I mean, making it easier for the authorities to deport foreign terrorist suspects back to their own country.
Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. A good launch point for us. We get more on how tomorrow's general election in the UK is shaping up now. Joining us with the latest is Bloomberg's Anna Edwards, who's live at Westminster. Anna, good morning. High anticipation, I would imagine, but how high are the anxieties about the uncertain outcome at this point?
Yeah, good morning to you, Bob. Yes, high anticipation. A lot of focus on security, as you were hearing there in the global news update. Theresa May then saying she was willing to tear up human rights legislation in the battle against terrorists. Today, both Theresa May and her rival, the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, trying to change tack, trying to get back to talking about other matters, not talking about security, get back to talking about Brexit in the case of Theresa May. She's crossing England, talking about the benefits of Brexit, saying that she will invest the money that would have gone to the EU in housing, in digital infrastructure, in R&D. Jeremy Corbyn, for his part, crossing England, Wales and Scotland, saying we've got 24 hours to save the NHS, the National Health Service in the UK. There is some anxiety in the markets in the sense that we've got these forecasts that you mentioned in currency markets that we could see 7% wiped off the pound if we saw a Labour victory. But that isn't necessarily anybody's base case scenario. If you look at the polls, they do still suggest a Conservative Party victory, but there's so much uncertainty in those polls right now.
Well, how close is that at the moment?
Yeah, well, the latest one we got, Bob, we got one overnight from the company Opinium, and that gives a 7 percentage point lead to the Conservative Party, so 43% for the Conservatives. What's interesting about this is that the legwork for this, the fieldwork for this, was done after we saw Saturday night's attack. So this includes any boost or any detriment that the Conservatives might have benefited from or suffered from after Saturday night's attack. So it looks as if that has not changed the picture too much. There hasn't been much movement on this particular poll. 7 point might sound like a lot, but this is within a range of 1 percentage point we see from some pollsters up to 12 percentage points from others. So there's a great deal of uncertainty around the polling. And in fact, some of the legwork that Bloomberg has been doing suggests that perhaps those polls are a little wider and the Conservative Party has a bit bigger lead than the polls suggest, certainly based on where the Tory party is choosing to campaign.
Less than half a minute here. This is taking place against the backdrop of the economy losing some momentum. How is that playing into things?
Yeah, that's playing into them in some sense. This is not a conversation that's happening on the doorstep, I understand, from one Liberal Democrat peer I spoke to earlier on today. But the growth rate in the UK has dropped to the bottom of the G7 league table in the first quarter. The wage growth is looking tepid. The pound is depressed. There's a productivity problem, of course, in many Western economies. Unemployment is at its lowest in 40 years, which is the upside. But some of those jobs look a little unsecure, as the Labour Party keeps reminding us. Bob.
Thank you, Bloomberg's Anna Edwards, live at Westminster, and we'll be hearing from her throughout the morning. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. The Yankees had the great start. They won 21 of their first 30. Since then, they are 11-14. If they lose again to the Red Sox tonight, they'll no longer be in sole possession of first place. Boston won last night at the stadium 5-4. The Sox hit 3 home runs off Masahiro Tanaka. Expected to be the Yankee ace. He's lost 5 in a row. He has served up 11 homers in his last 23 innings. Joe Girardi, however, not giving up on him.
It makes it more difficult, you know, for us because we see flashes of what we've seen. So to me, it's just finding a way to hit for him to become consistent, and we'll continue to work at it. Larry will continue to work at it tirelessly as long as our front office will, and we'll try to figure it out.
In Texas, Mets hit 5 home runs, still lost 10-8. Jacob DeGrom roughed up again. Mets have lost 5 of their last 6. Who is Scooter Gennett, and what is he doing hitting 4 home runs in a game? He's a 27-year-old, 5'10", 185-pound utility infielder for the Reds, a Cincinnati native, who was in an 0-for-19 slump until Monday and who had hit 38 home runs in his career. Last night, Gennett became the 17th ever to hit 4 in a game.
Usually when I hit a home run, I consider myself lucky, but it's hard to get lucky 4 times in a row. So I think I might be onto something here. Lately, I've just been trying to relax and swing at good pitches. And you know, after that, it's kind of out of our control. You know, it's all on if that ball moves a little bit or if it rides up a little bit more. I really wasn't trying to swing hard. I wasn't trying to swing hard the whole game because usually it doesn't work out too good for me.
First of the 4 was a grand slam. Gennett drove in 10 runs. The Reds wallop St. Louis 13-1. Do the Cavs have another comeback in them? They did it last year against Golden State. They need a win tonight. Game 3 in Cleveland. The Warriors yet to lose in the postseason. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thanks, John. Washington in focus today. The Senate Intelligence Committee holds a hearing on U.S. surveillance powers. We'll hear from Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats and Acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe. Senators likely to use the hearing to set the stage for the testimony of former FBI Director James Comey. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Withum Smith & Brown. Audit, tax, and advisory services helping you and your business to be in a position of strength. Experience the Withum way by visiting Withum.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Brown University's School of Professional Studies, engaging mid-career professionals with executive master's degrees in business, cybersecurity, healthcare, and technology. Brown.edu/executive. A measure of calm returning to markets as investors start to reassess the risks surrounding a series of key events this week. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures this morning, they're little changed. S&P futures down a point, down futures down 16. NASDAQ futures up 1. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.15%. The yield on the 2-year 1.29%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 16 cents to $48.03 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.40 to $12.95 10 an ounce. The euro this morning at $1.1270, the British pound $1.2914, and the yen 109.24. We're also looking for the weekly report on mortgage applications out at 7 o'clock Wall Street time. Then at 3, it's consumer credit. Brown-Forman is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Iranian State TV says one of the attackers taking part in an assault on Parliament has blown himself up. 4 attackers in today's assault on Parliament wounded at least 8 people in Tehran. A separate assault at the shrine of Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini in another part of Tehran killed a security guard and wounded 4 other people. Fired FBI Director James Comey, highly anticipated congressional testimony is tomorrow. President Trump had been tight-lipped, telling reporters, "I wish him luck." In sports and baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost. The Orioles, Nationals, and A's won. The Giants lost. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
Thanks, Michael. Thus far in his presidency, Donald Trump has faced resistance to his proposals on tax reform and health care. But billionaire real estate investor Tom Barrack believes a tax overhaul will eventually make its way through Congress. Speaking with Bloomberg at our Invest New York Summit, Tom Barrack weighed in on central bank stock valuations and the first few months of Mr. Trump's presidency.
I'm optimistic about a workable tax bill. It won't be as great as people hope. It won't be as bad as the naysayers think. But Mnuchin and Gary Cohn together with the budgetary confinement and a Congress who has to get there. Midterm elections are going to force, this Congress has got to do something. So I think on a business sense, optimism, hope, boldness, when you look at transparency in the world, why is our stock market doing what it's doing? And you say, well, the stock market is driven by five stocks, right? I mean, all we have to do is invest in Google, Amazon, Microsoft, right? We go on and say that's the market cap of the entire world. But transparency, optimism, capital, at a time where the rest of the world is in sovereign wealth central bank warfare, right? The only thing that's getting better is that central banks have now become the governors du jour. We didn't know who they were. 10 years ago, nobody cared who was the central banker in any of these countries, even in our country. It was a boring job, right? Now it dictates the pace. When you look and say, what's really, you know, we're almost in the 10th year. We would have all been wrong. Everybody wants to fix interest rates. As interest rates started to drip from 5% to 4%, everybody's saying, I'm going to lock, right? I'm just going to lock my interest rates and go fixed. If you would have done it any time in the last 15 years, you would have been wrong. It's an amazing phenomenon. Everything is getting cheaper. Everything is getting disintermediated. In 5 years, we're going to have driverless cars. The effect on the world is going to change tremendously. Office buildings are really going to be becoming obsolete. When you have WeChat, that's the same market cap as Boston Properties, and doesn't own a brick or a stick. You have Amazon, who's put shopping centers out of business and having to turn into entertainment centers. You have Netflix, which was a flash in the pan. You had Blockbuster Video, which was worth $5 billion, and Netflix, which was zero, and Blockbuster Video is bankrupt, and Netflix is worth the market cap of all the major studios combined, right? It's who can figure out where the world is going, and America is the best spot in the world for preservation of capital from everywhere. So I think this protectionist notion that the president has is the best global elixir that we could have. What he's doing by saying, I only care about America, is driving global growth in a more meaningful way.
And that's billionaire real estate investor and Colony North Star Executive Chairman Tom Barrack speaking at the Bloomberg Invest New York Summit. Mr. Barrack is a longtime friend of President Trump and led his inauguration committee.
And now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial, markets, and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Good morning, sir. So here we are, less than 24 hours to go until the UK vote. But take a look at sterling. Try telling the pound there is a general election, huh?
You looked at the pound against the dollar over the recent weeks, you'd have very little idea that there was an election campaign on, even one where the opinion polls are showing the governing Conservatives Party's lead is narrowing. The British currency has been in a narrow range between 128 and 130 to the dollar. Investors, it appears, are looking through those opinion polls as white noise and are betting the Tories are set to win and increase their majority. Now, the size of the magic majority needed is unclear. It's probably likely to be at least 50 seats. Any less, and the pound could well return toward the lower end of that range, and rapidly so, if May loses control. The whole reason? Brexit. The whole Brexit negotiations could be thrown into confusion. Now, the campaign has barely focused on those negotiations. They start in earnest on June 19th, but it's a subject that will override everything in months to come. And even a thumping majority for May is unlikely to give more than a temporary lift to sterling. Don't forget there are still 27 countries sitting on the other side of the negotiations here. So a sharp relief rally towards the top of the range on Friday would need to be followed by substantive progress on talks with the EU to prove anything more than simply fleeting.
Okay, I'm trying not to yawn over this next one, but Apple says it's making vital updates to its App Store, and I care why.
This is actually important. It may not raise much of a pulse among even diehard technologists, but it actually may be one of the most significant announcements Apple made this week. It's giving its digital store, that's the App Store, the most significant overhaul in its 9-year history. Now, it's not cool, but it matters, because if it can squeeze more money from the App Store, it can squeeze a lot more money out of its existing user base. Just to give you an idea of the scale, Apple sold roughly $29 billion worth of digital goods through the App Store last year. That's roughly equivalent to the yearly sales of, well, L'Oreal, say, a big traditional company. It's not a revolution. They're going to give video games more prominence, and they're going to highlight better the way they highlight new apps for people to try and to get them to try and learn more and try more apps. The issue here is it's getting harder for people to persuade people to try and use new apps. And the problem is that Apple needs those sales to grow as it becomes tougher to sell more iPhones, computers and iPads. People bought $29 billion worth of apps through the App Store last year. Apple's commission on that is likely to work out to about $9 billion based on its historical cut of about 30% of App Store purchases. Now, this matters because apps and AppleCare digital music are all part of what Apple calls its services business. It's now the company's second biggest product line by revenue after the iPhone. And Apple wants to double this pool of revenue to around $50 billion by 2020. Now, if Apple can squeeze an extra $10 a year in digital purchases from each of the more than 1 billion users of Apple devices, it translates into more than $10 billion a year in very high margin revenue.
That is a big customer base. Thank you very much. And Bloomberg's Ed Evans in London. You can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/gadfly or by typing GADF Go on the Bloomberg.
And we are watching the markets this morning, Bob, as futures, they're a little change with S&P futures down about a point now. Dow futures down 13. NASDAQ futures are up 2.5. The DAX in Germany is now a little change, while the CAC in Paris and FTSE 100 are both moving higher. The CAC in Paris up 0.4%. FTSE 100 is up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was a little change. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.15%. The yield on the 2-year 1.29%, and the 30-year yield this morning at 2.81%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 17 cents to $48.02 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.20 to $12.95.30 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report. Legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
Consumer advocates and some lawmakers say handing off control of the air traffic control system to a non-government body would mean higher fees and cost shifting to consumers. Former Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke defended the federal government's authority to take over and liquidate failing banks. The House will vote on legislation to eliminate those powers. And Senate Democrats and disability advocates promised to fight Republicans' proposed changes to Medicaid, saying they would mean billions of dollars in cuts to a program that covers 10 million people with disabilities.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.